97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning.
We have great confidence in our son.
Congressman Swalwell, do you plan on stepping down from the committee?
We're going to keep fighting until every legal vote is counted.
Nobody has ruled that there wasn't fraud.
Joe Biden should have a press conference and address all this.
I've been suppressing my Irishness for a long time.
Well, it's official on this Friday morning at probably about 30 minutes ago or so. The vice president of the United States got the Pfizer vaccine. I assume it was the Pfizer vaccine. The Moderna vaccine got approved, but I think he got the Pfizer version of it.
The report I read said Pfizer, he and his wife.
Yeah. So he is said he didn't even feel it, despite the needles that they're apparently using
these
days.
Regular badass. He is.
Yeah, he and his wife both got it. And wait for the news media to come out and claim that he jumped ahead of people who needed it more than he did. I'm just waiting for it. They wouldn't say that if it was Kamala Harris, but they're going to say
Biden's being polite and waiting till next week.
Oh, okay. All right. That's big of him. That's for sure. Somebody near Biden got corona, I read, or was tested positive, and now they were a little worried, so they're going to
Biden was tested and is negative, but he was with some. I guess they said the guy wasn't really that with him, that close to him when they were in Georgia.
Next, they'd need to give Hunter Biden an IQ test. Because
we need to find out how smart he is.
The smartest person Joe knows.
That's what Joe said. Let's get to our guest, please. He is the smartest person I know.
South Bronx.
Welcome to the jungle. Jim Carafano joining us from the Heritage Foundation. And Jim, good morning to you.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and you guys have a blessed holiday. It's going to be awesome.
It is going to be awesome.
Merry Christmas, Jim.
We need this, right? Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, my Christmas tree fell over, so I took a picture of it, put it on Twitter, and said, "Have a very COVID Christmas."
That's sort of fitting, isn't it? That something like
it
that
is.
Would happen.
2020 for you.
Are you kidding, or did your Christmas tree really fall over?
No, it really did.
Okay, oh my gosh.
How does that happen?
Terrible.
It just really defined my year, and yet we stood up again, and there it stands resiliently. So there, I think that's another good symbol of Christmas.
Yeah, you've always got that that kind of year when the Christmas tree is leaning and you just can't seem to get it straight up at 90 degrees for whatever reason.
Well, you know, it is. All joking aside, I mean, it was a really tough year. But I got to tell you, when you look across the world, I think America actually came through this pretty strongly. I was asked to write a piece that says, you know, write an assessment of where America is, but could you try to be optimistic? And actually, it was not hard. I mean, you know, basically, our economy is sound. We just need to get people back to work. The virus, you know, dealing with the vaccine is going to help do that. We ended the year in terms of foreign policy and national security in a very strong place. Our defense has been really rebuilt. We actually have very strong relations around the world, and you know, we've kind of put all of our enemies on the back foot. Now we'll see where we go from here, but you know, we're in a good place. And even the election, okay, so there's election disputes. People voted in record number. People care about this democracy. And I think the fact that we can have disputes and run those through, I think that just shows our democracy is healthy. And I think it's a degree of transparency. So I am kind of optimistic today.
Good. For today. We're glad to hear that. I wanted to get your reaction to this news that the Russian hacking of our nuclear systems was a lot worse than they thought. How big of a deal is this? Now, do we have any idea what they accessed?
Well, I don't. I mean, all I have is available to what other people have in the news. But you know, this is going to happen. There is no such thing as perfect cybersecurity. This is a 24/7, 365 job. These breaches are really big and serious, and it would be different if you say, well, we don't really spend any money on this or invest in this. We do a lot, but it just shows what a constant threat is. And the other thing I'll just remind you is, you know, people say, oh, well, dude, can't we just be nice to China? Can't we just be nice to Russia? Can't we just be nice to Iran? These are very aggressive adversarial regimes.
right,
that only see their place in the world getting better, diminishing the United States. So this notion that somehow it's our fault for defending ourselves and looking after our citizens and their freedom and prosperity, people just need to get over that, because that's just wrong.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I do have some concerns over Joe Biden's plans for Bob Iger to be the ambassador to China. I mean, I listened to Tucker Carlson play some sound bites from this guy over the years. His head is in places with China it shouldn't be. If I can just put that friendly way.
I think it does sends all the wrong signals, because when you look, I mean, in the West, we think if we're nice to you and we cut you some slack, then you see that as a sign of accommodation, and then you react to that positively. When you give China or Russia a freebie, like sending them an ambassador who just loves making movies in their countries right next to genocidal death camps, they interpret that as a sign of weakness, that you can be played. I mean, if you think when they went back, when Xi originally went to Mar-a-Lago and met with Trump, and Trump, you know, did the whole, hey, you know, I want to be friends. The Chinese actually interpreted that as a sign of weakness. And they said, we can play this guy.
Wow.
Of course, like 10 minutes later, they found out that, oh my God, this guy actually was just being nice to us. He really wasn't just like a pushover. But I think... When you're Biden and you're coming out of the blocks and people are very suspicious about whether you're going to stand up to China or not, essentially giving them a China cheerleader, then you're just digging a hole for yourself, dude.
Couldn't agree more. Jim, listen, thank you for all you've done for us for the past year, and Merry Christmas to you. We love having you as part of the show.
It's a great honor to be on your show, and always has been. It's really the high. By God, highlight of my week. You guys have a great holiday.
You too. Love
we
you.
Will.
You too, Jim.
Absolutely, buddy. Take
Merry
care
Christmas.
Of yourself. All right, Jim Carafano there, at JJ Carafano on Twitter. A quick break here. Coming up before the end of the hour, I'm going to get to your phone calls. Coming up before the end of the hour, my friend Bill Clevelin is going to join us. Funny guy, radio veteran. He's going to join us about 8:35 to talk about a new book that he's got that could be a stocking stuffer for you. We'll be right back.
If you're feeding a person a crap sandwich with a smile, it's still a crap sandwich.
All right, welcome back in on this Friday morning, and we're going to get to Bill Clevelin coming up here at the bottom of the hour. I want to get to a couple of your phone calls here. Sean on line one. Sean, good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Great, good.
We are doing fine. It's Friday, a little weekend yeah. coming up. Looking forward to it. What's happening?
Hey, how'd your deer season go? I hadn't talked to you since we went.
Not all that great. I got one deer. It was a pretty small one. I mean, good eating, but that's about it.
Yeah, I got a small one too, but hit it with my AR-15 at 286 yards and went about 20 feet, and that was it. So
wow, that's a heck of a shot.
Might be the most American statement I've ever heard in my entire life.
But yeah, Joe wants to take my assault rifle, my hunting rifle, away from me. You know, next year, have me register it. It's unbelievable.
Well, here's the scary thing is the ATF is about to pass a rule, I understand, about these stocks that fit around your arm, they're called. These stocks, these stabilizing braces, they're about to outlaw those too. So that's happening under the Trump administration. I can't imagine what's going to happen under a Biden administration.
Yeah, I already sent my email to President Trump. I mean, the ATF needs to be reined in. That's ridiculous. But I don't know what else to say about that. I've got a couple of them myself. So either you have to destroy them, register it. I think they're going to waive the $200 fee for the short barrel rifle. But there's a couple of things I don't understand yet. They've got all these new rules. So nobody really understands it yet, so we're still waiting on what's coming out. So maybe Tuesday you may ask your 2A Tuesday guy and see what's going on there.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Sure. Hopefully the Supreme Court will get off its duff and act on this at some point instead of, passing the buck. Listen,
yeah,
Sean,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Merry Christmas.
Hey, same to you guys. Thanks.
Absolutely, bye. Yeah. Thank you.
I have a question. So Joe Biden says his platform is we're going to do all of these, make all of these changes to the Second Amendment. Can he actually just straight up make those changes, or does it have to get passed? It has to get passed.
No,
through.
No. He didn't. I don't think he specifically wants to change the Second Amendment, but he wants to add restrictions on your freedoms that, you know, they're not supposed to be. Our point of view is they're not supposed to be doing that.
Right.
It shall not be infringed. But there's been a lot of infringement already, and the courts have not acted. What we need is a clarification from the court.
Okay.
Far they can go.
I guess my question is, what right does Joe have to do that? Does the Senate and the House, have to approve it anyway?
Yeah, which is why losing the Senate would be a big deal.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. The Republicans won't allow most of that garbage to get through. But if they have all three, the House, the Senate, and the White House, Katie barred the door. It's going to be like the state of Virginia with some of the craziness they're going to be passing. And you'll get the Second Amendment Foundation and Gun Owners of America and the NRA will be going to court and trying to fight that. But, you know, that takes a while. And in the meantime, are you a criminal? We're talking about turning law-abiding citizens in the United States into criminals, treating them like criminals because you changed the law after the fact. That is not going to sit well with most of the red-blooded Americans that I know. I can just tell you that. Mm. Let me get to Bob here on line two. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. So I got a question. Maybe I don't know if you looked into this or not. But the one drug just got approved yesterday, what's it?
The Moderna?
Moderna,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, now, according to the U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services, Alex Azar, I'm reading this on news media, so let's take it careful. News Nation Now, he's saying that there's not enough vaccine. That's why there's this cutback on Pfizer stuff. Pfizer is saying they got millions of these vials sitting in their warehouse just waiting for the government to go ahead and tell them where to ship them. And I'm just wondering whether we're playing, you know, nicey-nicey here right now, that we've got to give Moderna a chance to get some of their stuff in and sell what they got. We can't just have Pfizer have the whole thing, which is a bunch of nonsense when you got – I'm 72, okay, and I run a business, okay, that it's playing politics with different companies so they can get their fair share, and yet it's putting our lives at risk because they say, quote, we're cutting back the amount. We don't have enough to be able to send it to Missouri or other places. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, I heard that there had been some delay, or next week they're not going to get as many doses as they thought. I did read the story about the fact that Pfizer's holding back like a million doses of it. And so I guess I'd think of it this way. I have a hard time believing that they don't want to get out as many doses as they can. I heard they had some sort of supply chain problem with the number of vials they needed or whatever to get as much out as they had initially hoped. But at the same time, if they've got a million doses of it and you have to get two shots, then you've suddenly only got 500,000, right? Only 500,000 people can get those million doses because they need to hold back half of them for the second shot they need to get in a couple of weeks. So hopefully the Moderna coming in will flood the market with more options. And I'm told there's a third one that is under consideration that's only a single dose vaccine, which would certainly be convenient. So hopefully.
One other thing, if I may, with your last person was on speaking to you. I'm an ex-vet. Okay, and I hope the government doesn't start pushing the people of the United States to a level to which they're going to say enough's enough.
Right.
Okay. I'm an ex-sniper. Okay, and the thing that's going on here with all this stuff as far as military weapons, they need to go back and look at the original founding fathers when that was implemented. And they can here's the analogy. People owned cannons back in the day that was written. Cannons. That was the largest weapon that was available to them at that time. That means that according to the Second Amendment, I would be able to be owning an Abrams A1 tank.
Yeah. But to your point, Bob, and it's like I said to him. And I appreciate the phone call, my friend, and thank you for your service to our country. I'm up against a break. We need the court to step in and define this, because they're going to push it as far as they can until the Supreme Court steps in and says, shall not be infringed means shall not be infringed. We'll be right back. Happy Friday. Glad you're back with us here. You can follow us on the Facebook. We're on Facebook Live, and you can go on radio.com, lots of places. You can download the podcast and listen later if you need to. We appreciate you here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Thank you for that. Everybody should have their American dream, right? And yeah, I think sure. I'm proud to say that I've helped spur at least one American dream. Did you know that?
I didn't.
I'm very proud of that.
We have because, children, so I'm well, hoping no, you spurred at least three.
People wanting to have something to do greater than have to work with me. One of them is a guy named Bill Cleveland, who at one time ran the teleprompter for me at Channel 4 on the morning show and has moved on to great things, probably because he didn't want to work with me anymore. Bill, how are you, my friend?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. So that was over 20 years ago. Oh, not to make you feel old, but I save over the years little pieces of things. I don't save a whole heck of a lot, but I have a little treasure trove of some things that I've saved. And one of the things that I saved was from those days when I ran the teleprompter. And for people who don't know, the anchors would print out their stories. And part of your job was not just run the prompter, but you'd collect the scripts that people would print out. And Mark one day printed out this script. And that was my job. When I'd hear that printer go off, I'd have to run over and grab the paper. And I run over because there's a paper had printed, and it was from Mark Cox. And the paper said, "Bill, what the hell are you doing?" And it had nothing to do with the news, but you printed it out, and I've saved it. I don't know why, but it's in the mix somewhere all these years later.
A yellowed piece of copy stuck on Bill's wall somewhere. That's fantastic, my friend. Well, you've gone on to great things. I mean, I listened to you for years on the Frank Opinion show, and you've done a little bit of everything, and now you're traveling the country, which is, that's got to be a fun job. I've watched some of your stuff online. It's just fantastic.
Yeah. Since 2013, I've done BillOnTheRoad.com, and you're right, driving all over America and meeting really interesting people and telling their stories. And now I've got, it's hard to believe, my fourth travel book is out. And I wrote that about Finding the American Dream is what it's called, a guided tour of places where Americans changed history. And it all stems from driving around the country and going to these places where people that, you know, you and I know, they're most of them, you know, we know that their names are familiar. It's, you know, Louis Armstrong, Mark Twain, the Wright brothers, Jim Henson, Johnny Carson, you know, all these guys and gals that found the American dream and achieved success. But going to the places where they started their dream, whether it was a childhood home, or like in the case of Tina Turner, the one room schoolhouse where she learned to sing in Middle Tennessee. And I just started collecting all these things, and I came up with about 75 of them. And so I told their stories. And then also in the book, I guide people to the places where you can go and actually visit. You can visit, like I say, the Tina Turner schoolhouse or Johnny Carson's home where he, you know, lived as a child, or Eisenhower's, childhood home in Abilene, Kansas. So it's more than just a history book. It's a road trip book. And it's fun.
Well, you should have gotten Tina to invite you to her new house. Didn't she like relocate to France or something like that? Didn't I read that?
Yeah, she lives at maybe Switzerland.
Oh,
I think.
Is it?
Yeah,
okay.
She lives in Europe. But you know, it's cool. She donated a lot of her stuff, a lot of her, you know, awards and her wardrobe and all sorts of things that she, you know, from her career, and donated it to this, you know, this museum. Again, it's the one room schoolhouse. They turned it into a museum, and it's not far from Memphis. Tina Turner with some great St. Louis ties. And you know what's interesting? I just learned this through writing the book. Is I didn't realize. Well, I knew Tina Turner was not her real name. Her real name, I think, was Anna Mae Bullock, if I'm not mistaken. But I didn't realize that Ike Turner actually copyrighted the name Tina Turner.
Oh, no,
so I guess in case it didn't work out, he could go find himself another Tina Turner. That's pretty bizarre.
That is very strange. So people can. I read where the tourism industry. People are already starting to book out vacations, hoping this whole pandemic thing is over, and it's really taken off. I just heard that report this morning on one of our business reports. So this is a great way of finding the American dream. People can kind of brush through this and get an idea of things that are on their bucket list that they want to see and head out there, like where Colonel Sanders made his famous chicken, right?
Yeah. It's Colonel Sanders is one that I mentioned, mm-hmm. Colonel Harlan Sanders. You can go to the very first Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's in a little town in Kentucky. And, you know, it's interesting, Mark. He achieved his dream. He was in his 60s. He was like 65 years old before he even started Kentucky Fried Chicken. So, you know, that's kind of a cool thing that I talk about in this book, too, is that, you know, it doesn't matter what age you are. You still got time to figure it out and go after what you, you know, what you've always wanted to do. But to your point about the tourism industry, yeah, I mean, I think people are just ready to get the hell out of Dodge, man. People are tired of seeing the same surroundings, and they're ready to travel again. And road trips, mark my word, road trips will be huge in 2021. And for those of your listeners that don't follow me online, I start all of my road trips from St. Louis. So I've got a lot of great resources for people who are looking to travel, starting their trips in St. Louis at BillOnTheRoad.com. So if people are looking for, you know, ideas, looking to plan some stuff for the future, definitely check that out and you'll get some inspiration.
Well, and I guess if you go to visit the Harlan Sanders place, like, do they actually have pictures of Mario Lopez up on the wall there now? Did you see they're doing some Lifetime movie with Mario Lopez from what, Saved by the Bell, mm-hmm. playing Colonel yeah. Sanders? And they had to paint his hair white to make him look like. But it's like a romantic movie. How do you make a romantic movie, right?
What did you say about it? I don't see how Mr. Sanders was that romantic of a guy.
Yeah.
I think he had a pretty tough temper, and he wasn't real easy to work with. But, you know, it's funny. In Louisville, Kentucky, speaking of Harlan Sanders, you can go to his grave site. And there's the, I think it's called Cave Hill Cemetery, if I'm not mistaken. And they have a yellow line from the entrance that leads you all the way to his grave. And on occasion, this is not a joke, I've been there, and people will leave buckets of chicken at his gravestone. Like, that's a crazy thing that travelers will do. But you can visit his gravesite.
That's weird. They're kind of panning this new movie with Mario Lopez in it as Colonel Sanders. So I don't know if I'm going to. A recipe for seduction. I mean, what a weird concept to me. That's what
recipe
they choose.
Recipe for disaster.
Recipe. It's a recipe for disaster. Well, Bill, it sounds like a great book, my friend, and I'm just I couldn't be happier for you that things are going so well. That's fantastic.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it, and you've always been a nice guy, and people should know that. Early on, I mentioned that joke about the paper, the printer paper, but yeah, Mark told me that my first day when I was at Channel 4, I was, I think, 19 years old, and I walk up, and, you know, you look around, you see all these people that you've known for years on television, and you're a little intimidated, and Mark came over to me. I'll never forget this. Mark came over, he goes, "Don't worry," he goes, "we all put our pants on the same way," and I just thought that was great. I always remember that all these years later, and I think of you every time I pulled my pants up. No,
well,
I'm kidding.
Good. I bet you did, didn't you? Uh-huh. Thank you for that, Bill. I appreciate that. So where can people find this? I'm assuming on Amazon for sure, but are they on, like, they have to go to your website?
Yeah, if you want to buy local and support local, you can go to BillOnTheRoad.com and pick up the book. And then if you want to follow me, it's Facebook.com/BillOnTheRoad. And we'll get you some good road trip ideas coming out of St. Louis. So,
outstanding.
Thanks for having me. This was fun.
Bill, love talking to you again, my friend. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Merry Christmas.
You bet. Merry Christmas to you. Bill Cleveland there, BillOnTheRoad.com. Yeah, he's right. For years, that old teleprompter was still there. Like, everything's electronic now, right? Of course. Mm-hmm. But when I started at Channel 4 in 93, you had to print. The script paper was 5 carbon copies thick. Because you had one for the director, one for the producer, one for the talent. Everybody got a color-coded copy. And the person in Bill's position had to rip those off one of those, you know, those old printers they're not laser printers, but you know what I'm talking about, where the paper came out of boxes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There would be like 100 sheets in a box,
yep.
And they were all connected, and you had to rip them apart and rip the sides off of them.
Yeah.
Then
you
had one of those at our house.
Then you had to tape the scripts together. And you had to manually push them under the camera that was the teleprompter. Mm-hmm. It was a camera looking down on the scripts. So it was an involved job. And yeah. I used to have a lot of fun with Bill. With that. So that's good.
Sounds like a good guy.
He's a fantastic guy. 314-241-9797. We'll have time for your phone calls when we come back.
Is it not an emergency that working people are having to line up for food? Literally line up for food in this country in this day and age because they don't have enough money to go purchase nutrition for their own children.
You know that voice, Senator Josh Hawley, who's been pushing hard. Apparently he's going to go to the floor of the Senate today and ask for $1,200 per person stimulus checks instead of the $600 or $700 they've been throwing around. We might know by the end of the day. They've also got a deadline tonight at midnight where the government officially runs out of cash to spend. So they've got a couple of big decisions to make today. Plus, they all want to go home for Christmas. Mm-hmm. So probably knowing the folks in Washington, their biggest motivating factor is that they want to fly out of there this weekend. So they're probably going to agree to something today.
So how does this deadline work? I should know this by now, but they have a deadline where the government runs out of money at the end of the day. Can they extend that if they need to and stay over the holidays?
You can do a continuing resolution of some sort for 30 days or 60 days, I guess, and just keep spending. I mean, officially, the House, officially holds the purse strings. So technically, they're supposed to pass the budget and sign off on it, the omnibus spending bill, to approve the expenditures. But they can do a continuing resolution. They might do that.
How does a government shutdown in this case work? Because I keep seeing news like the government might shut down. What would that mean?
Saves us all a hell of a lot of money, quite frankly. here's my point. The last time it shut down, I didn't notice it.
Same.
Now, you might have been a government employee who ended up going home. Odds are you got all your money back at the end of it because they ended up going back and paying people. Not that would be convenient. Don't get me wrong, but,
Yeah, I didn't notice the last shutdown. I know we've done them before recent past. I was just wondering what the circumstance
was. It's more
was
for politics than anything else because everything that's essential continues to get funded.
Mm-hmm.
They don't quit funding things that are essential. I don't think that's going to happen. Hey, shout out to, by the way, to this Southside Church of God. Loved this story on Channel 2 News yesterday. The Southside Church of God down off Lemay Ferry has started an effort called Save St. Louis. I think it's what it's called.
Save St. Louis County.
St. Louis County. Nice. And they're trying to raise $2 million to give to restaurants and workers in need. And they need additional donations to do so. Yesterday, they handed over a check for $2,800 at the Concord Grill down in South County. If you're looking for some way to help, you're not quite sure how to do that, here's a good example. Southside Church of God, so it's sscogstl.org. We'll put a link up on our website in case you're interested in donating to that. The opening page opens up to a donate link if you want to try to give something to these restaurant workers. This may be a good place to do it. So they're handing out checks, it looks to me like, to some of these restaurants to keep them afloat. They're sure not getting any help from Sam Page. That's for sure.
It's a good idea as a gift as well. Like if you're doing gift cards, pick a locally owned, restaurant.
Restaurant, yeah. Sure. That's a great idea.
Yeah. 100%.
Just like Schnucks did. Schnucks did that for their employees. They gave them $15 gift cards from local restaurants just to try to give them that extra hand there. I think that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Let me get to Tommy's call here on line one before we get done today. Tommy, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Thank you for having me on your show this morning.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, I just want to comment about a little bit of history, how de Tocqueville, a writer and philosopher, he visited America in the mid-1800s. And as he toured our country, our fledgling country, he warned us in his writings of bureaucracy, that in America, in our republic, we didn't have to fear a king. We had to fear 10,000 kings, that there would be local principalities all over America with, ruling us by edict and by arbitration and by their whims of self-importance. And we are seeing his fears come to light in the greatest, most obvious manner these days with the idea that at one time I had property that was legal to own, I followed all the laws, and now if I refuse to write my name upon a list, that now I become a criminal in which a SWAT team could possibly be sent into my house, and if I resist the SWAT team, I will be murdered in my home in the name of public safety.
Well, I mean,
and I just find... I just find this whole place that we've allowed ourselves to get to you know, good people don't want to be messed around with. We got jobs, we got homes, we have mortgages, we have kids to raise, we have life savings, trying to plan for a peaceful and quiet yes. and enjoyable retirement. And so the communist side revolution in this country is taking advantage of our benevolency and our just steamrolling us over on every corner.
Well, Tommy, we try on this show. I'm getting feedback. I'm sorry. Thank you for your phone call. I appreciate that, and Merry Christmas to you. I try to preach that on this show all the time. We had a lot of our founders warned us about what we're seeing right now. My favorite quote was attributed to Ben Franklin, who said, "When the people find out they can vote themselves money, that will herald the end of the republic." Mm. You're about to see that in spades. Coming up, if Joe Biden gets into office and the Democrats take the Senate, they will vote themselves money that we don't have. So that's problematic. I would agree with that. Hey, thank you all so much for your contributions to Glennon.org. It's not too late to go there and contribute to their week of hope, and we hope that you do that. Have a great weekend. Kilmeade's up next. We'll get to Annie Fry noon to 3. We'll see you back here Monday morning.
Get more at 971talk.com.